Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll begin our wrap-up of Romans. Christ, our exemplar. Christ, the hope of Jews and Gentiles, the offering of the Gentiles, the visit to Rome and Spain, and the long goodbye. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Wait, oh yes, wait a minute, Mr. Postman. Wait, wait, hey, Mr. Postman. Mr. Postman, look and see.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to be going through listener email and the Issues Etc. listener comment line for the remainder of the program. Our email address right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the comment line 618-223-8382.
Before we get to email and the comment line, it's got some updates on the ever-changing, evolving 2020 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
We thought that previous conferences had unexpected changes involved in them. We have the tragic death of Aaron Wolf, who was supposed to speak at a conference for us. And then we had Matt Walsh previously scheduled last year. And then I think he tore his Achilles heel and was unable to travel. So we had to make a few changes. Nothing compared to the changes that have been made necessary by the global pandemic.
So we have some new speakers and a new speaking lineup.
Yeah, due to various reasons, travel restrictions and illness and things like that, our new lineup is just so it's not entirely new, but just so you know, the new lineup for our virtual conference is coming up the 24th and 25th of July. Our Mark and Molly Hemingway, they're going to be making the case for informed Christian citizens. Matt Walsh will be there. He's going to be making the case against woke ideology. Pastor Chris Roseboro will make the case for the Trinity, and Greg Kokel of Stand to Reason will be making the case for discussing Christian convictions. Very, very practical kind of stuff there. Katie Faust, who has been introduced recently as a guest here on the program, is going to make the case for something we've never talked about before, except on the air here, and that is children's rights, and then it's all going to be rounded off with Pastor Hans Feeney of Lutheran Satire, making the case for the obedience of Christ. Now, this is still going to be July 24th and 25th, regular old time. It will still begin with the live broadcast of Issues Etc. at 3 o'clock on that Friday afternoon. And because it is virtual, you can still register at issuesetc.org. Just look on the menu bar there for the virtual 2020 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. And if you just want a little help doing that, want to talk to a real human being in the middle of coronavirus, give Lynn a call, 618-223-8385.
And so I was just telling you during the show that Matt Walsh, one of our speakers, saw it's a 2020 virtual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. So he says, does that mean I don't have to be there? So here's how it's going to work. All the speakers will still be speaking live from Concordia University Chicago, the site of the original 2020 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, non-virtual conference. They'll be streaming live from there. They'll be flying into Chicago, speaking on the campus at Concordia University Chicago. There just won't be attendees.
Yeah, the only people who aren't going to be there are all the people who are registered for the conference. The speakers will still all be there. Obviously, we won't be eating together. We won't be sleeping in dorm rooms or hotel rooms or any of those kinds of things. It'll be from the convenience of your home. But we have been testing and planning with the great folks at Concordia University Chicago. And they are going to be able to bring off a marvelous, I'm starting to sound like Donald Trump. They're going to be able to
the
bring
best ever
a marvelous high production value conference for everybody watching on the stream or on demand.
Never before in human history, a virtual conference quite like this one. Never. It's never been done.
Well, the other thing that I don't think our speakers are going to have any trouble with this, because there will be a few people in the room, including me and Jeff, and I think Lynn will be there, won't she? She'll be our, she won't be there.
No, Lynn, you're not going to the conference, right? Lynn? Oh, she just doesn't know. I don't know. I guess we better figure that out.
I was planning on her just being the single audience member.
I didn't know if she was going to troubleshoot people's being able to watch live from here or there.
I was just going to put her up in the auditorium and have her sit right in the very center of the darkened auditorium.
Yeah.
Single clapping sound at the end of each presentation. But it's going to be a little, you know, you have to bear with us. We'll be talking to an empty room, which is difficult to do. I talk in an empty room all the time, but I don't talk to an empty room. And half the time, the people who are out there in the control room aren't paying attention to what I'm saying. So it'll be a little weird, but it's going to be good.
So some people might say, guys, why don't you just have them Zoom it from their homes? To which our answer is, we want to be able to provide, it would be a lot cheaper for us.
Oh, sure.
We could save airfare. We just, because it's so late, and Pastor Rose Rose filling in for Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, which we'll talk about later. He's got a flight from Fargo. I think round trip's like $800 now because we're, 11 days out. So it'd be a lot cheaper. But we're doing this so we can control the content and the quality of the stream for our attendees.
You can Zoom with anybody. And it'd be fantastic to Zoom with Pastor Chris Rosebro. I'm sure many people do. But we want to provide as conference-like a format as we possibly can. And then we can also do the things that we need to do for future audio, because we do use these things for future audio. We can give our presenters a signal that they're running out of time or they're going over time, and we can essentially direct the thing right there on site.
So we want to have a high-quality broadcast, both the video and audio broadcast for the registrants for the 2020 virtual issues, et cetera, making the case conference. So that's why we're still going to be at Concordia University Chicago.
So I'm going to tell you folks something, a kind of inside baseball, which is that if I would have been able to tell Jeff Schwarz what it would have required to get here to the finishing line on this conference back in March when COVID first hit, he would not have believed me, because he didn't even believe in that COVID was going to cause a problem for weeks and weeks and weeks. Jeff lived in denial for a long time because he knew it was really going to mess up a lot of plans. After he accepted the fact that there was a global pandemic, which was, I think, sometime last week, he began to, make accommodations. But I think, Jeff, if I would have told you that we would have to swap out this many speakers, that we would have to make this many changes of plans, the amount of meetings and phone calls you would have to make to do the conference, you still would have done it, but you would not have believed that it would ever have actually happened.
No, if you think about it, the original lineup, we lost Dr. Albert Moeller after we switched from June to late July, hoping that 5-week window would make it easier. We really wanted people, because we know how important the mutual consolation and conversation of the brethren are and to our attendees. So we really, really wanted to make it possible, if any way possible, for people to attend. So we moved it back, but then we lost Dr. Albert Moeller.
Because of the date switch.
Right. So we had Dr. Robert George. We were aware of Princeton University, that Princeton University had a travel ban for faculty and staff. But we were hoping maybe after June 1, it'll change. Maybe after July 1. We held out for July 1st. But the travel ban still exists at Princeton University. So we lost Dr. Robert George. And then we lost Pastor Brian Wolfmiller for health issues. And please keep Brian, his wife Carrie, and their family in your prayers. We lost him for health issues. So Pastor Chris Rosebro will be filling in for Pastor Wolfmiller, and then Katie Faust and Greg Kokel at the very last minute. I can't wait to see what Greg Kokel's flight's going to be from LA round trip, 10 days out, 11 days out. They'll be filling in for the two presentations that Dr. George was scheduled to give.
I just am thankful that we have a stable of guests broad enough and deep enough with the kind of expertise they have, that finding conference speakers like this, procuring them is difficult, but coming up with a list of people who are good conference speakers is not that difficult. We don't have to, we have a really, really deep bench and in our guest list. And so I'm looking forward to it.
Well, and you know, it's a guest driven show, and these people really believe in what we're doing. Like Greg Kokel's been on the show for more than two decades. Greg, we're in a bind. Robert George can't speak.
No hesitation.
You know, and so you know, we're blessed to have great guests who also enjoy being a part of what we do here at Issues, etc. So we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, my only regret is they're not going to get a chance to meet the listeners there, but that's, we can't help that.
Right.
And we'll get back there eventually. We'll get back to that point eventually.
Next year, 2021, the best non-virtual conference in human history. Never been done before. It's going to be done.
The best non-virtual.
Non-virtual.
Conference.
Yes. This year's the best virtual ever. Next year, the best non-virtual.
And it's going to be huge.
Nobody's ever done a conference like next year's non-virtual 2021 Issues, Etc. Non-virtual Making the Case Conference. Anyway, this year's Friday evening, July 24th, Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, July 25th. You can watch live or at your convenience. And you can register, or you'll find the new conference schedule, the new conference schedule at issuesetc.org. Or as Todd mentioned earlier, call Deaconess Lynn Fredrickson, 618-223-8385. Well, that only took about 10 minutes.
Well, we needed to make some explanations.
Would you like to say something about Pastor Wolfmiller for listeners?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Jeff has actually had the conversations with him. I haven't talked with him, and I have read what his dear wife, Carrie, has posted online. He's been having some health complications that began while they were on vacation, and we don't know the nature of the problem. We just know that these are serious health complications. We do not know from the information we've got whether or not it is COVID-related or not, but the doctors always assume the worst, so they're going to assume that it's COVID-related. But keep him in your prayers. It sounds like whatever it is that is ailing him is going to take some time to recover from. So for him, his wife, his family, and his congregation down there in Austin, his congregations down there in Austin, please keep them all in your prayers.
Email from Denny. I think you guys have gone too far with your harsh words of Eugene Peterson's paraphrase, The Message. Kind of reminded me of the piety of the scribes and Pharisees. I myself have issues with The Message, but I'm not going to hammer him. We have enough of the world to do that I am sure of. Many of the issues you mentioned, I'm sure many Lutherans from birth would not totally agree with all of your harsh comments. I guess your folks forgot the passage where St. Peter talked about doing things of this nature gently and with respect. I enjoy your program, but thought on this subject you went overboard. I don't even disagree with what you were trying to say, just the lack of respect and gentleness that came across to me. Thanks for the feedback and thanks for listening, Denny.
So what is she referring to there so that the listeners can understand here, Jeff? She's referring to a series that we did with Dr. Andrew Steinman, I believe.
I think so. I'm going to try to look it up. Denny, is that you said she? Is that a male or female?
I'm sorry, neutral? I don't know.
I think Denny. Most Dennys I know are.
I didn't read the name.
Are male, I think.
Okay, sorry.
But nowadays, who knows? Who knows? I don't know. I'm going to type it up here. I know we did at least a 2-part series with Dr. Andrew Steinman on The Message. So I assume that's what the listener is talking about.
If it was a series that we did, people might not be surprised to believe that I don't have instant recall on every conversation I've had because I have a lot of them.
August of 2012, a review / critique of Eugene Peterson's Bible paraphrase, The Message, Parts 1 and Parts 2 with Dr. Andrew Steinman.
So I can say, with not having a recall of the actual conversation, I talk to a lot of people, I can assure you that Dr. Steinman is a paragon of respect. He is, I don't think I'd ever characterize him as harsh or any of those things. So I think he would show consummate respect, but I'm sure that he didn't hold back in his criticism of The Message. And here's the problem with Bible paraphrases. It's not that someone decided to paraphrase the Bible. If they do it accurately, then it may have a certain kind of usefulness. It's when these paraphrases get used instead of the Bible itself. So which would you rather read? A paraphrase of Mark Twain's Life on the Mississippi or the actual book? Which would you rather read? A paraphrase of, say, I don't know, one of my favorite books is Lee Harper's To Kill a Mockingbird. So do you want to hear my paraphrase of it? Or do you want to actually read the book itself, which is a masterpiece, an absolute masterpiece? So it is one step removed from the actual thing itself. We believe as Christians, many of us still believe, not all, but many of us still believe in what's called plenary verbal inspiration. That means that every word of the Bible, as in its original autograph, is inspired by the Holy Spirit. We need to translate those things because not everyone reads Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic. But when they're translated, we want to translate them accurately into the language that we're seeking here. And then we can speak there of having an accurate, faithful, reliable translation of the original autographs that are verbally inspired. Every word is inspired. That means every word counts. And if every word counts, we're careful. This is why people will just spend their entire career working over a translation in order to get it as accurate as possible. A paraphrase doesn't do that. A paraphrase only tries to get the sense of the thing. And you're already into interpretation when you're trying to get the sense of the thing rather than just laying out the words themselves. I'll give it to you in another example. Someone goes to interview the president, and in their news report, rather than quoting exactly what he said inside quotation marks, they just decide they're going to paraphrase it. I'm just going to paraphrase what Donald Trump said. Would you put up with that kind of reporting in a newspaper? Just paraphrasing a source? Inside quotations, because you put it inside the covers that people associate with the Bible, and you say the message by Eugene Peterson, he's honest, he says it's a paraphrase, but people use it as though it is the very word of God. It is an accurate translation. Rick Warren routinely quotes the message as though he were quoting an accurate translation of the Bible. He doesn't bother to tell you that he's quoting a paraphrase. And he happens to kind of pick and choose his paraphrases and his translations to make his various points. That's not an honest way of dealing with God's word. It's not rightly handling God's word. So there's a problem with the paraphrase itself. But the bigger problem, as I've already pointed out, is how pastors will use this paraphrase. They may tell their people, this is just a paraphrase. But then they'll quote it as though they're quoting the very words of God. And when we talk about verbal inspiration of the Bible, we mean that every word matters. We'll be right back with more listener email.
Commanded to serve our families and our communities to the best of our abilities. And, you know, we should take our vocational responsibilities in these areas very seriously. And I think that involves making sure that we create conditions in America that continue to allow religious freedom and allow our Lutheran faith to continue to thrive and that we can continue to evangelize.
Mark Hemingway talking about his joint presentation with his wife Molly at this year's virtual Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
The fact of the matter is that on those particular issues of religious liberty and preserving our faith from the onslaught of bad cultural and political ideas, things have never been more dire, and it's more important than ever.
You can watch journalists Mark and Molly Hemingway making the case for Christian political engagement at the 2020 virtual Issues Etc. Making the Case conference. The premier conference for Christian laity is Friday, July 24th and Saturday, July 25th. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Timeless truth that prepares scholars to serve their neighbor in all of life through their various vocations. This is what scholars receive at Wittenberg Academy. If you are looking for a solidly Lutheran online education for your child, consider Wittenberg Academy, where doctrine is sound, academics are rigorous, and relationships are genuine. We offer full-time, part-time, and diploma track options to meet your child's Lutheran education needs. We partner with brick-and-mortar schools and homeschools. You can find out more at wittenbergacademy.org.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email, talkback@issuesetc.org. What's next, Jeff?
By the way, getting back to the message, not to beat a dead horse, but people ought to listen for themselves. They can type in the Google search engine in the right-hand side on the issuesetc.org.
Yeah, type in the message and you'll probably find Dr. Steinman.
But a lot of his, Dr. Steinman's a scholar, and he's just saying it's also not
accurate.
It's not very accurate in many places.
Whenever I pick up a Bible translation, I don't bother with paraphrases because, again, do I want to hear a paraphrase of what the president said or do I want to hear exactly what he said? Do I want to hear a paraphrase of a famous book or do I want to actually see the book itself? So I don't bother with paraphrases. But the third thing is it an accurate paraphrase? Is it accurate insofar as a paraphrase can be to the original languages? And here's part of the problem with paraphrasing. I don't think that Eugene Peterson went to the Greek and Hebrew to write his paraphrase. He probably went to English translations to write a paraphrase, which is now you're three steps removed from the thing. And I always go to certain passages when it comes to Bible translations. I go to Paul's words in 1 Corinthians where he says, "This is my body." Did they get that right or did they fudge it a little bit? I go to a couple other places where translators get tempted to mistranslate someone because of their theological presuppositions and to check its accuracy. So,
Tom writes, "The Creed says that the third day he rose again from the dead. This implies there was another time he rose from the dead. When would that have been?"
It does not imply that he rose a previous time. Now, in English, to say he rose again from the dead is a little redundant. But in the original language of the Creed itself, the word there, to rise, is also the word for to stand up. That's the Greek word that when they talk about Jesus rose from the dead, is the word to stand up. Dead people don't stand up. When you stand up, you get up from the dead. And it's got a little particle on the front of it that says again. I think it's Anna, if I'm not mistaken. So the resurrection is, in Greek, to stand up again from the dead. It's not again as in he did this thing once before, but having been dead, he now stands up again or rises again from the dead. So only in English is it really a problem. And even then, I don't think that it implies that there was a previous resurrection.
Michael in Vandalia, Illinois. "Dear IE crew." Last week it was team.
Now we're a crew.
Crew. "I love the listener email and comment line segments. I know you've said they don't get as many downloads as other recurring segments, but I love them." This is not part of the email. Ever since I've been moaning about it, the downloads have seemed to have increased. So maybe I just need to complain some more.
Yeah.
Oh, that interview with Rosebro. It was terrible. Nobody listens to it.
No one ever listens to Chris Rose.
Actually, you know, downloads double. Back to Michael from Vandalia's interview. "I wouldn't mind a little more inane banter at the start of the segment." Well, we did today. I hope you enjoyed it on the conference.
It could get a lot more inane than that.
Well, you give Lord Feichtinger a mic.
Yeah. I could take my baseball pledge live on
the
air.
Oh, man. Craig would have had you bite on that and informed the world about what you pledged today. But my favorite part about this segment is hearing Todd respond to questions, because I use it as an exercise in how I would answer these questions and objections. Case in point, Kevin's email read on July 9th segment asking the question about the real presence of Christ as the rock which followed Israel through the wilderness. Regarding Todd's response about Christ the rock, while he included many points that didn't immediately come to my mind, he did not include the first thought that popped into my brain. Christ's real presence in the rock is different from his real presence in the Lord's Supper, because Christ could only be present in the rock according to his divine nature, but he is present in the sacrament according to his human nature also. With Kevin's background in history and American evangelicalism, my thought was to uphold and reinforce that unique bodily presence of Christ in the sacrament, contrasted to his general presence in creation or even his peculiar presence in the theophanies of the Old Testament. Was that something Todd considered but edited out of his answer? If so, why? Or was it a point that he hadn't come to mind amid all the other good points he made? Thanks again for the master class in street-level apologetics that we get through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line segments. As our Lord reminds us in Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Thank you for making me and all your listeners sharper. Thank you for listening in Vandalia, Illinois, Michael.
Michael, you give me too much credit for like formulating an answer and then editing it before I go on the air. I do formulate answers before I go on the air, but it's not, I don't sit there and write anything down. Now, I have to look up something or a Bible passage or a reference in the confessions. I do that as well, but not as much prep goes into as you are given to believe. So actually, it's the latter. It is that particular difference, which I agree with you 100%, is the major difference between the two ways that Christ was present in the rock in the Old Testament and in the elements of the Lord's Supper in the New Testament. The major difference is, of course, that he is present in the Lord's Supper according to his divine and human nature. And in the Old Testament, as you pointed out, before he had assumed into his divine nature, a human nature, he was present only according to his divine nature. And the real point here is what we eat and drink in the Lord's Supper, as I know you agree, Michael, is the very flesh and blood of Jesus Christ, which, risen from the dead, now becomes for us the medicine of immortality. So that is a major difference. I thank you very much for pointing it out. And don't give me too much credit for sitting down, formulating an answer, and then carefully editing it. I barely do that with my writing.
Quickly, Mark writes, where can I find the communication of attributes chart referred to in the interview with Pastor Paul McCain, the person of Christ, and the solid declaration of the formula of Concord Part 2?
If you go to that episode at our website, issuesetc.org, there is a link to that document. It's very useful. It is some heavy weighting, even though it's been simplified greatly, but it's right there. There's a link to that very PDF. You can download it for free with Pastor McCain's permission, and he's already given it. So go get it. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll continue our series responding to Roman Catholic proof text with Dr. Jordan Cooper. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority, they've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. thecleaningauthority.com.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.